Good evening, everybody. It is December 20th, our last show before Christmas. And it's the Jake and Skull Show. I'm Mr. Skullhead. Jake is right over there.
Wait, when's Christmas?
This year, I think it's on the last Saturday of the month. Last Saturday of the month is when Christmas always is, right?
Cool. I can never remember the rule.
Yeah, I am.
You know, I haven't bought a single Christmas gift for anyone. This happens to me every year. I get so busy with this work stuff, and I forget about the people that I care about.
And you forget about the true meaning of Christmas.
I do.
Which is buying
Christmas presents. Thank you for the funny, the clever Christmas gift, by the way.
Did you appreciate it then? Good.
I did. I wasn't sure if the copy of A Christmas Carol was an accident, or if that was another, just an additional gift.
Oh, it didn't have the little note on it that I told Amazon to put? I told Amazon to put a note on that copy of A Christmas Carol that said, you must spend 77 more cents to qualify for Super Saver shipping.
Ha. Huh.
So, somebody has made one of the Amazon lists that's just the cheapest stuff on Amazon for when you need 80 more cents or whatever for Super Saver shipping.
That's funny.
So it's like, oh, Christmas Carol's on there. I'll pick him up a copy of The Christmas Carol.
No, I don't remember seeing that note. Do they ever put notes on specific items inside a package?
Well, I don't know, but they let me assign the note to it, so I figured.
Huh. Weird. I can dig around through the box again. But Mr. Skullhead, for those of you listening, who aren't me and Mr. Skullhead, Mr. Skullhead got me a. I was first perplexed by the one visible thing in the package, which was a combination outlet and light switch. You know, just like an electrical appliance thing, and then I saw that also in the box was a Blue Canary nightlight. Where did you find that Blue Canary nightlight? I didn't even know that was a thing.
It popped up on Facebook in an ad. I think because I had They Might Be Giants as something I liked, and it said like these guys noticed that there was no such thing as a Blue Canary nightlight, and so they figured that they should make one.
Huh.
So, they did. It's like BlueCanaryNightlight.com. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I need to buy it instantly. And then went and looked at it and like, yeah, you know what? That is pretty cool, and I will buy it.
But not for myself. It's down in my kitchen, watching over the floor of my kitchen.
Very nice. I figured it wouldn't be very useful, but it at least, you know, it ups your nerd cred.
It does. It was funny. What have you been up to? What'd you do this weekend?
Weekend? Huh. Wow. Yeah. We had a party on Friday night.
Oh, right. There was a holiday?
The
movie
Muppet Christmas Carol and hot chocolate drinking party. That turned out pretty well. We always end up with, like, 20 people in the upstairs drinking the cocoa, and then as soon as we talk about going downstairs to watch the movies... Or the movie, singular. Half of them disappear. So that's kind of cool.
Do you think they go even further upstairs to get high?
No, they go in the basement to get high before everybody's down there watching the movie.
Oh, I see. But then they get so high that they're on the ground floor again?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you guys are back. And they said, yeah, we gotta go now. We're too high to watch
Muppet. Do they just leave, or do they genuinely disappear? Like, do you ever see them again?
Yeah, it would be weird if we had to make that many friends every year that we still had 20 people at that party, even though half of them disappear every year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it puts the pressure on you to meet new people.
This
like
time was
go
good.
Meetup.com.
We watched the Muppets, and then we followed it up with, like, the first half hour of Love Actually before people fell asleep.
I see. All that hot cocoa, you know.
Yeah.
It has a soporific effect. It's because of the turkey.
Yeah, we always lace our hot cocoa with turkey broth. So that the tryptophan will put people out.
Yeah. I went and saw Tron Legacy, but you didn't get to see it yet, did you?
I didn't. You want to come watch my kid?
No, not really.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. I feel like there were definitely times when your kid... could have been left unattended for 3 hours.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you don't want to roll the dice.
When he's sleeping at night is definitely one of those times. Because the only thing that would that could possibly go wrong is the house catching on fire or somebody breaking in. And those don't happen very often.
But, okay.
Yeah.
How about this? You take a Bose acoustic noise-canceling headphones. You strap one of them backwards onto his mouth. And then you just take him to the movie with you.
Oh, right. Hmm.
So then just deafening silence would pour out of it. And he would look like those guys... I don't know. Was it a Star? Is there a Star Wars character that has that? Yeah. In episode one, that dude with the weird thing and the strap going across his mouth and the weird speaker instead of his mouth.
Yeah, we dressed him as a Tusken Raider to take him to.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Do you think they're from Tuscany?
I think so. I think they are the flavor of Tuscany.
I don't know anything about Tuscany.
It's in Italy.
Is it like a region of Italy?
Yeah, there's some great stuff that comes from the Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
There. But, they have a lot of Olive Gardens, and they invent recipes.
So maybe you'd get some, like, Tuscan noodles with a Basque sauce?
Exactly.
On some Vatican China. Or, I'm sorry, some China Vatican. Do you think that China is made with the sand from China Beach?
Probably.
How do you make porcelain? Is porcelain... It's ceramic, right?
Sure.
I think the sand used to make porcelain comes from China Beach. And the wood from a beech tree.
Hmm. So Dana Delaney makes all the porcelain?
Or all of the people involved in its manufacture chew beech nut tobacco.
I would hope so.
I guess I can't talk to you about Tron Legacy then.
You can tell me whether you liked it or not.
I think I did, actually.
Huh.
I don't know that I believe... So, there's a handful of things, right? Like, to people who complain, there were a lot of people I've heard say that it's boring, and that I did not get at all. Like, I could understand complaints that the first Tron was boring.
Right.
And this being less boring than that means, you know, it at least filled that meter up a little higher as a sequel. I don't know how well I believe it works as a sequel to Tron, but I think it worked okay as just a kind of a sci-fi-y, action-y movie-y.
Hmm.
The action wasn't overwhelming. I saw it in IMAX 3D, which is the first time... when I walked into the IMAX theater, it seemed kind of familiar... But I'm not positive that I've ever seen a movie in an IMAX theater before.
Hmm.
That was a little weird, and I attributed it partially to me getting old, and when there's frenetic action in 3D, I sometimes can't focus on things until they're gone.
That happens to me most of the time. Like, most of Avatar was kind of a blur, trying to figure out what was going on.
Did you see it at an IMAX?
I didn't see it in IMAX, but just it being in 3D did it.
Plus, we weren't right. We got there. It was really crowded, even though we were there, like, first thing in the morning on a Saturday.
Hmm.
I was kind of hungover, which also sucked. Little queasy trying to follow the action. Little headachey. And something was wrong with the projector, I think. Either that or I was having a series of tiny strokes. Which, it takes different ones to what? How does that song even go?
To rule the world, I think.
To row the world? To rule the world?
Yeah.
Who in that show was trying to rule the world?
Mr. Belvedere, I think.
Okay. I don't know that I would recommend it in IMAX 3D, unless you had better seats than I had. Because there's that sort of deal where half of the frame is always out of focus. Like, whatever you're looking at is fine, but then the things that you aren't looking at, like, kind of double up.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking I would see it in the IMAX 3D, but the more I think about it, I'm going to go to our kind of ghetto theater that's like 2 miles from our house, where any movie that is primarily marketed at white people, there's going to be 4 people in the theater.
Yeah.
And they have a decent, like, I'd say the theater is about as good as that AMC theater they built in Prescott after the super crappy theaters closed.
Hey, I worked at the super crappy theater.
Yeah, and you were the best part about them.
Yep.
Yeah,
but so I'm the best part of anything that I'm involved in, to be fair, Mr. Skeleton.
So they're not, you know, it's not terrible. It's not the absolute best, but it'll be a big screen, and it'll be the movie, and that'll be fine.
I'm kind of surprised that it's, like, the number one movie of the weekend. Like, that, I was not anticipating it actually being a financial success.
They do get the boost from having it be in 3D, too, though.
I guess. And there wasn't really anything else coming out. It was up against, what, Yogi Bear?
Yeah.
Which, Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know. I listened to the Overthinking It podcast about Tron Legacy, and they didn't have a lot of positive things to say about it, but I don't know. I think I was expecting it to be pretty bad. That's probably partly why. And this is one of the few times that I actually deliberately try to manage my expectations and keep them low. And it worked. Because it sometimes doesn't do that. I'll be like, oh, it's going to suck, it's going to suck, it's going to suck. But deep in my heart, I hope it will be good.
Huh.
And then I'm disappointed when it's mediocre. But, I don't know, you know, there was enough action. I was not as put off by the sort of alterations of the rules of the world as I thought I would be.
Hmm.
But it was... whereas the first one was believably set inside a computer, this one might as well have just been in a magic parallel world.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't... There is almost no exploration of the division between what's going on in the... In fact, there is zero exploration. Like, they're in the real world, they're in the computer world, they come back into the real world, and the movie's over. Like, there is zero correspondence. And I felt like Tron was about the correspondence, and in this, it's like... Oh, okay, I see. They've just gone into some fantasy world where a bunch of kind of self-contained stuff happens, and then they left. You know, you didn't have, like, the cutting out to Dillinger talking to the MCP. You know, it was weird. It was just a different kind. And that's why I say it doesn't really work as a sequel to Tron. There was less reason to think that it would behave the way a computer would behave. There was some terminology, you know, they talk about, like, users versus programs, and there's not really any... They kind of explain that in the first movie. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, Tron is this program that Bruce Boxleitner work, Alan Bradley.
Uh-huh.
Alan Bradley should, right now he is kind of like Michael Douglas minus cancer.
Hmm.
He sort of looks like... He looks a lot like Michael Douglas, and he sounds a lot like Michael Douglas. So it's possible that the universe is trying to enforce a one Michael Douglas at a time rule.
So if there happens to be, you know, God forbid something should happen to Michael Douglas, we have a backup.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like a second string Michael Douglas.
Yeah, a Michael Douglas 2.0.
Why hasn't Bruce Boxleitner been in anything? Has he? And we just haven't seen it?
Who is that guy? I can't call to mind a name, a face name of that dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like he would be an actor. He is an actor. It seems like he would have been in some other movies.
Yeah.
It seems like somebody who gradually looked more and more like Michael Douglas would have found work. Maybe he could have been in, Falling Down 2.
A lot of the pictures that I'm seeing of him make him look like Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah?
So if they ever do a sequel to Primary Colors. Secondary Colors, they could easily call it.
I never saw Primary Colors.
It was pretty good.
Was it? I remember, wasn't it based on a book that was supposedly based on real life?
Yeah, it was the, like, very thinly disguised, what do you call that, Romana Clef?
I don't know what a Romana Clef is.
A very thinly disguised story about real people.
Huh. I thought Romana Clef meant something like a story in which... Like, a story about the development of a particular character.
Uh-huh. That may not be
Let's both look up stuff on Wikipedia at the same time.
Nope, I was right. A novel describing real life behind a facade of fiction.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of...
A treble clef?
Probably.
Maybe Roman bath.
Jimmy Cliff?
A Turkish bath.
A Turkish delight.
Heathcliff, the big orange cat.
Yeah. Rapper's delight.
Sorry, I got hung up on Heathcliff.
Right. Heath Ledger?
Was Heathcliff the shitty Garfield, or was Heathcliff better than Garfield?
Heathcliff was the family circus to Garfield's Dagwood and Blondie.
Huh.
Heathcliff was a single-panel cartoon with a cat that was even lamer than Garfield.
I see. Okay, right. I never felt that Blondie was really bad. I guess it was really, like, tame and boring. Nothing was ever funny.
It's sometimes weird to Bumstead see, like,
get yelled at by his boss.
It's weird to see that and, like, Beetle Bailey are still running. And you'll have, like, the general from Beetle Bailey whip out an iPhone. And that's just really strange, because that universe hasn't changed in 50 years. Except, you know, like, now Dagwood drives a Prius. It's weird.
Does he really?
No,
you're just making that up.
Yeah.
Because you think of yourself as Dagwood.
I do. I do like to eat those gigantic sandwiches.
Right. Does he make sandwiches really tall or really long?
Really tall.
Okay. It's Subway that makes sandwiches really long.
Right, and it's the Subway that has the really long trains in them.
Okay. And it's a subwoofer that generates really low frequencies.
Right.
And it's a Shih Tzu that generates a lot of woofing.
Right. And it's a Shih Tzu that is the martial art that involves flinging your own excrement.
Oh, so those monkeys. It's taught and practiced exclusively by monkeys.
Exactly.
I'm sad that there's an eclipse tonight.
Yeah, bummer, man. Wait, what?
It's really super overcast. Huh. So, I don't think I'm going to be able to see it.
I wonder if we're going to get to see it here. It's been pretty overcast. Got, like, 4 inches of snow today.
How are you liking the snow? Is it still, like, fun to play in, or are you just wishing it would knock it the fuck off?
You know, the giant snowstorm and the subsequent shoveling was kind of a pain in the ass, because that was a good maybe foot and a half of snow drifting up to 4 feet on occasion. So, that was a pain in the ass, but, like, subsequent snow is now not going to make it any more difficult to get around. So... doesn't really bother me.
Did you see that video about that snow shovel that had a big wheel on it?
Yeah.
Do you think that's ridiculous?
There's nothing wrong with a shovel. If you're like a hale and hearty grown-ass man, which I am, then there's just nothing wrong with shoveling.
You mean you don't throw your back out?
I don't, not yet. Maybe in like...
Does Dagwood Bumstead sometimes throw his back out? That seems like the kind of thing that he would do.
His boss sometimes throws him out and he lands on his back.
I see. I feel like his boss is always... his torso is bent over at a 45-degree angle. When I imagine his boss, I imagine him stalking around the office with his torso bent at a 45-degree angle. Yeah. Maybe that's because he threw his back out shoveling snow. Because he's too old. If the snow's too heavy, you're too old.
Exactly. And what you do is not get some ridiculous thing on a wheel. You get yourself a snowblower or a legion of slaves.
When you say a snowblower, is that a thing like a leaf blower, or is that one of those things like a wood chipper for snow that you push around?
Yeah, like a lawnmower, if a lawnmower threw the grass that it cut several feet into the air.
Like, so that it can land again and be back where it started?
No, and to the side.
Oh, so it goes to your neighbor's house.
Right, well, you can aim the little thing. You can figure out where you want to put it.
Oh, can you make it blow it directly into your face?
You could, if that was what you were into. And
could you put some sort of a homing device on it so that no matter where you went, it would blow the snow at one particular spot?
I wonder if you could get some kind of little GPS unit in there. Just have it always blow the snow due north.
Oh yeah, it'd be like that that always north pointing wagon or whatever that they invented in China.
Yeah.
Before the discovery of the compass. You know, before they found the compass. Crimbo's chugging along. People seem to like your work, Mr. Skullhead.
They do. That's pleasant. Pleasant and strange. Yeah. I was honestly expecting people to say, okay, well, what else is going to happen? And
some people are saying, like, whoop, where's this going? Where's this going? But I don't, I don't think people are really expecting, like, a huge amount of additional content. At least they shouldn't be.
Oh, we'll be talking about that the next couple of days.
Yeah.
It's best to... we've never managed, I think, to write the event and have it play out exactly as we had written it.
Yeah,
without adding something or changing something. And I think that's for the good. Like, we see how things hit people and see how they're playing with it and then see what to do with it.
Yeah, and usually by seeing how things hit people, our reaction is to want to hit them.
Right.
I don't think I want to punch anybody this year.
Yeah,
except
no.
Except the dolphin. Is punching the dolphin a thing?
The only person I want to box is the clown.
Boy, you know what I did, finally? I ordered a DVD copy of Shakes the Clown.
Congratulations. I haven't seen that either.
Oh. I want to put two clips from that movie on YouTube. I need to figure out how to rip the DVD and put clips from it on YouTube. Because there's two things that I want. One is the one that would have explained yesterday's system message, where the guy bursts in and says, "Hey, are you clowns on dope?" And Binky says, "You didn't see nothing, old man. Just a bunch of happy clowns sitting around enjoying a plate of beef. White, powdery beef." So I want that scene. I want that scene where I can link people to it. And then the scene where I don't even remember which character it is and who he says this to, but who says, "Oh yeah? Well, the only show that you could ever be on would be a show called The Not Funny Diarrhea Club, fuckface." Which is one of the finest lines in the history of cinema. You know who's good in that movie is Julie Brown. Not downtown Julie Brown.
Oh, uptown Julie Brown. Right.
Not the urban version of Julie Brown, but the uptown version of Julie Brown. The one who's been living in her white bread world.
Yeah, the homecoming queen's got a gun, Julie Brown?
Just say Julie Brown.
Uh-huh. Julie Brown.
What has Julie Brown been up to? She's just sitting around enjoying that Shakes the Clown money.
She's on Wizards of Waverly Place.
What's that?
Some bullshit on the Disney Channel.
That sounds like an old thing, though.
No, it's new. They're kind of like Harry Potter plus, like, Hannah Montana thing.
Really?
I don't know.
Are you sure this is not something that's been around for years?
Right. It's a couple of years old.
Wow, why does that sound so familiar?
I don't know. I haven't really delved into the mysteries of the show, just noticed that it exists.
Looks like 2007. I don't know, that sounds like a very obvious title for something, you know? It sounds like it's like a good solid phrase.
Yeah.
Like Miracle on 34th Street. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
The Wizards of 34th Street.
What are Waverly wafers? Are Waverly wafers a thing?
They're delicious.
Is that a kind of candy or something?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is that like a stroopwafel?
A what?
I've been thinking about stroopwafels a lot lately because I've been playing a lot of Twilight Heroes and I've been eating a lot of stroopwaffles.
What
in Twilight
Heroes?
So a stroopwafel, it's like a... I don't know where they're from. Maybe they're German. But it's like... It's like a wafer, like imagine a kind of a thin, hard circle of the material that a waffle cone is made of.
Okay.
Imagine two of those with a very thin layer of caramel sandwiched in between them.
Oh, okay.
And they come in like a stack. that's you know, wrapped in cellophane or whatever. They're fucking good. They are really, really pretty delicious. Huh. I like a waffle cone, and I like some caramel. I don't like pronouncing it, caramel, I mean. I don't like pronouncing it consistently. Every time I say it, it sounds different than the previous time.
Caramel?
Which is why I can only say it a certain number of times in my life before I'm just not allowed to talk about it anymore.
Caramel.
Although I guess I could just start saying things like, whoa, caramel. And then the next time, whoa, caramel. I think that's probably cheating, though. They'd probably catch me if I did that.
Do you suppose that you could get away with just saying other words instead and have it be like an egregious mispronunciation?
Maybe. But then how would anybody know what I was talking about?
Like, they're these thin discs with swans in between them.
They're these thin discs with the schwans in between them.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So yeah, you had your party. Was it fun? Was it well attended?
Yep, I didn't get laid or get in a fight, so I figured it's kind of a wash.
Okay, I was gonna say if not getting laid is a hallmark of a good party, then boy did you and I have some good parties when we were younger.
Yep. We failed to go to a party on Saturday, so we couldn't find anybody to watch the kiddo. So instead of going to a party, we stayed home and watched. What did we watch? Watched Singles. And some independent movie starring Anya from Buffy.
Is Singles that movie with what I was going to say was Whitney Houston? No is the answer to that. Winona Ryder?
No, that was
Reality Bites. No, Janine Garofalo.
No.
Neither?
Neither.
What's the one I'm thinking of with Winona Ryder?
Reality Bites.
Okay, that's the one with Winona Ryder. What's the one with Janine Garofalo?
No clue.
This one, it was like a young Janine Garofalo.
This one, the biggest name in it is Bridget Fonda.
I wonder if I can just mistype horribly Garofalo. I can. Wow, that's actually how you pronounce Garofalo. I'm going to look. Man. Why do websites have to keep fucking changing?
I know, right? I don't like that apparently the new design aesthetic that everything is striving to look like is the way that the new Xbox menus are. Where it's like little boxes all over. And,
are they made of ticky-tacky?
They are. It's like everybody as one decided that the, like, gradients and soft edges are so totally 2000, like, year 2000 now, and we need something new, and that something new is just big, solid blocks of color and fucking little squares all over everything.
Oh, Reality Bites, Janine Garofalo was also one of the main characters in Reality Bites.
Ah, okay.
So I was thinking of one movie with both of them in it. Maybe she wasn't a main character, I don't know. She's third listed. She's third billed. I did not remember that Ben Stiller was in it, or Ethan Hawke. I don't think I've actually seen that movie. Why did Ethan Hawke turn into like a heroin skeleton?
I don't think I'm qualified to answer that.
Remember when he was in Explorers, where he kept having a dream about a circuit board, and then River Phoenix made that circuit board a reality?
Yeah.
And then they went to Retardedville.
Yeah, you and I disagree on that one.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I think that the reason that I don't have a problem with, like, the way Stephen King ends books is because an entire Stephen King book is, like, the first, you know, two-thirds of the movie Explorers. And then I almost feel like it would have been better if I hadn't watched the last third of Explorers. And, like, in a lot of cases, if I hadn't read the last, like, five pages of a Stephen King book, you know? Huh. It's not like it ruins it for me, because I still love the build-up. I still love the, like, sort of epic mystery. But I think that there's never a successful payoff to the build-up of an epic mystery.
Maybe anti-climax is the best we can hope for.
Except Lord of the Rings, where there was just a bunch of gay porn at the end.
Yeah.
Because then at least you've got some gay porn to distract you from how nothing is ever going to really live up to the epic mystery that has been building up.
I don't think there was an epic mystery building up in Lord of the Rings. I think there
was... You didn't know what was going to happen.
Here's this ring, and here's what it does, and here's what it is, and you need to go throw it in a volcano. And they're like, okay. And so they do.
Well, fine. I didn't know what was going on.
It wasn't a big twist, really.
I just kind of skimmed it.
It wasn't like, no, it turns out that the ring is actually an extension of Bilbo's soul, and if you throw the ring into the fire, then Bilbo will light on fire.
Oh, also, a big spider.
Oh, that's right. I didn't see the spider coming. That's my one weakness, though, is spiders are invisible to me.
I went to a holiday party on I don't know, was it Saturday? I guess it was Saturday.
Oh, was it a holiday party? Was it celebrating holiday?
That's what he called it, so yeah. There was a Santa Claus, there was a Christmas tree, but there was also a point where everyone threw plates against a wall and broke them.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
So it was celebrating Christmas and American Beauty Day as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It was for luck. I think it is okay to call a Christmas party a holiday party if it is like in lieu of both a Christmas party and a New Year's party.
That's both.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Like it's that does not offend me the way that, you know, holiday tree or holiday ornament. Mm. Even that doesn't really offend
me. I wouldn't say it offends me. It seems so affected. So like stuff white people like. So
I think they're solving a problem that no one actually has.
It's like, here's a bunch of people who... Say there are 15 people who all celebrate Christmas, and they've all been invited to this party where there's going to be a tree and a Santa Claus and gifts exchanged and ornaments and Christmas carols being sung, and yet they call it a holiday party because they don't want to seem like they're closed-minded somehow. And it's just, yeah. It's a little too precious for me.
The reason that I thought of this, though, is because at one point while I was sitting there having a conversation with somebody, they were like, huh, hold on, you have a spider on your head. And then just reached and plucked a spider from the top of my head.
Maybe you should wash the hair just a little bit more.
I think the spider was a recent arrival.
Oh, okay.
I think I maybe walked through a door, and it was just a daddy long legs. You know, it was fine.
Hmm.
It was a pretty good party, though. I caught up with some people that I hadn't seen in a long time. I had some conversations with some people. I met some new people. I smoked some cigars. I drank some homemade eggnog, which was actually pretty good.
Huh.
Glass of eggnog with brandy, and I wasn't just disgusted by it. It didn't have the sort of congeal-y sense that I get from grocery store eggnog.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't feel like I needed to chew it. Yeah, one cup of eggnog a year. I think that'll be fine.
I can do one of the, say, quart size containers of eggnog. I can share that with somebody a year.
In a sitting, you mean?
Yeah. So it'd be like two glasses per year. Nothing major. I don't have anything against eggnog. It's just like hot chocolate with booze in it is better in almost every way.
You know, I decided that I was going to try some of that. I decided I was going to, like, work out some hot drink stuff that I liked 1 year. I think it might have been 2 years ago around Christmas. And it didn't really work. I think I still have, like, most of a bottle of Frangelico and most of a bottle of, like, what's that other stuff?
Galliano?
There's some... no. It comes in, like, it's got, like, a metal... is it Chambord, maybe? Oh, it comes in a bottle where the label is, like, made of metal and kind of
Yeah.
Bottle. Yeah. And, you know, just some, like, cider and, like, I don't know. You know what I do like is a hot cider.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
The hotel that I stayed at in Philadelphia had a big thing, a dispenser of, you know, like one of those coffee pots that's heated, but it was filled with hot cider. Just grabbing one of those every time I headed out the door.
We've been getting into hot buttered rum. That is delicious. There's a mix that comes in like a little tub. It's basically, I don't know, like a butter and brown sugar and cinnamon and like a little bit of clove or whatever.
Clover?
Yeah, a little bit of clover.
Wait, is this a beverage for horses?
No, if it was, it would have hay, because hay is for horses.
Mm.
Hay.
I'm an elephant. Would you like to see my penis?
Right. And then you take it, and you put it in hot water, and you add some rum. And
your penis?
The elephant's penis. I really wish you'd try to keep up.
I never understood. Okay, hay is for horses. I'm an elephant. Would you like to see my trunk? I do not understand what the point of saying that is, unless you immediately show the person your dick. And I think that this is like a thing for little kids to say. So I don't think that that's what happened.
I'd always heard hay is for horses, not for cows.
Huh.
For some reason.
Maybe my version was the original work of that guy who used to show me his dick all the time when I was a little kid.
Probably.
Who am I kidding? There were a lot of guys like that when I was a little kid.
It was because you were such a little prick tease when you were a little kid.
I was. And I was always saying, hey, to dudes with mustaches.
Yep. I mean, dudes with mustaches when we were little just meant they were somebody's dad.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Or they were one half of the cast of Simon and Simon.
Right.
Gerald Rainey.
Gerald McRaney.
Is it McRaney?
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Because he's animany and totally insaney.
McRaney days and Mondays always get me down.
Yeah.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down stuck in my head for an entire rainy day.
Was it also a Monday?
I don't remember. I frequently don't know what day of the week it is.
Yeah. I had that problem today at like 5:30. I was upstairs putting tile in the bathroom. I was like, oh, does anybody know what time it is? Because I think today's Monday. Then I sent you a note and said, hey, is there a show? And you were like, yes, there is a show.
I pulled my phone out to text you, and I saw that you had texted me 2 minutes earlier. And it just further cemented my belief that whatever it is that your brain uses to tell when a thing in your pocket is vibrating has just been burned out of my brain. I literally... It used to be that I would frequently just ignore my phone when it was ringing, right? If I was in the middle of something and I didn't want to be interrupted, I would just be like, you know what? I'll just see who that is later. But now I'm just never aware of it. So I just have to pull my phone out of my pocket every, you know, half hour to see if anyone has sent me a text message or called me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck. I wish that I could install an app that would make the phone vibrate 10 times as vigorously. I would take the hit in battery life.
Can't you just wear it on your other pocket?
I guess. Boy, that would be a change that I think would cause me to constantly accidentally shove my keys in the pocket with my phone.
Yeah.
And scratch my phone all up, because it would take me forever to get used to that change. Who knows, man? Maybe I could just get some sort of thing to install that actually shocks my testicles.
Oh, yeah. I think that at that point, though, it's not about trying to get the text message right when it's sent. I think at that point, you're just on vacation.
Yeah, it's about writing a computer program to repeatedly send me text messages.
Right.
Mr. E says, Disker Arcade, top 5 games available on Xbox 360. Go! Braid. Braid's good. I'm trying to think what I've liked. Oops. Xbox 360. I can't think of a lot of Xbox 360 games that I've actually played a lot of. Shadow Complex was pretty good. What do you like, Mr. Skullhead?
Netflix. I would say the time that I've spent playing the Xbox has been maybe 0.2% of the overall time I've spent with the device.
Yeah.
Because I keep buying games that I was excited about and keep finding out that they kind of suck. Like Lego Harry Potter. Fuck that. Dead Rising. Fuck that.
Yeah, Dead Rising. God damn it. I read about Dead Rising 2 and I was like, hey, maybe this'll... nope. Still the same bullshit, like...
Yeah, the review that I read was like, don't worry, they haven't gotten rid of the, like, delightfully difficult save system and the having to stop killing zombies to go kill a person who just immediately kills you instead.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think... It's, like, I wish they didn't sell it as a zombie-killing playground.
Yeah.
But maybe we've already had all the zombie killing that there is to be had, right? Maybe there weren't new ways to kill zombies unlocked by making the plot progress, right? So maybe for us it actually was that sandbox.
Right.
I can see the authors sitting around justifying it that way, at least. You know, the way we will justify all kinds of crazy bullshit that nobody ever actually believes.
Yeah.
I mean, Rock Band 2... That's probably the game that has been played the most on my Xbox, just because it was like a party staple. Do you think if it was Christmas time around your office that you'd get some festive party staples? Like they alternate between red and green.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. We'll make a fortune.
And then basically what you do is you write a bunch of letters. You write an identical memo to everybody that's like, you know, it's a 2-page memo. And then you staple them all together and distribute them. And what the memo says once they've opened it is, if your memo has a red staple, you're laid off. If your memo has a green staple, you get a 100% raise.
That seems like an ineffective way to reduce costs.
Well, it's not about reducing costs. It's just about maintaining a sense of terror in your staff. They'll work twice as hard for two reasons. One is that they know they might get laid off. Because they don't know it was random, right? And two, you're paying them twice as much.
That's true.
So basically, you save money on rent because you can move into smaller and smaller offices until there's just one employee left, and then you either fire them or yourself.
True.
I'm going to write a book about management. Elfin says, Scully, how do you feel about vaginas as an alternative to taint? Got this from the Californication TV show. Is that what you would call the taint on a man?
Yeah, I think that would be strange. I think vagina sounds like a name of someone in a parody movie about ancient Rome.
You mean like a porn parody?
Yeah. Well, like Biggest Dickus in Life of Brian.
Right.
Vaginas. Like if Family Guy did a joke about, you know, wow, this dirty laundry sucks more than the Roman Empire. What's up, Emperor Vaginas? Yeah.
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Is that your Family Guy treatment that you keep as an aspiring comedy writer?
Yeah, you always got to be ready to make fun of Family Guy at a moment's notice.
Well, no. I'm saying, like, you know, what did they say? Like, every comic writer has at least one, like, episode of The Simpsons that they've written.
I have an episode of Animaniacs that I've written. That shit is not going to come in handy.
You don't think?
It would take an interesting convergence of events.
An interesting conflagration.
Yeah, it would take a really fascinating fire.
You don't find all fire to be really fascinating?
No, I mean, after I come, it's just, I'm kind of over it.
You're really bored. Yeah. The only thing that you ever burn is giant wooden boobs.
Right. It's like the movie The Wicker Man, only I use boobs instead of a man.
How'd they get burned? I kind of want to see The Wicker Man so that I will have a context for the weird Nicolas Cage flip-outs.
Oh, you watched the highlight reel?
Yeah.
I don't think, having watched the highlight reel, I think that it's too high a price to pay to watch the actual movie.
Really? Was it pretty bad?
That's just the thing. The highlight reel made me not want to watch the movie.
Oh, I see. I assumed for whatever reason that you'd already seen the movie.
The original was so good. weird, but good. It had Christopher Lee in a dress.
How old was Christopher Lee at the time?
Like 40?
We still need to get that project underway where Christopher Lee reads the dictionary in a variety of different tones.
Yeah.
Like, first he reads it all, just straightforward, and then he reads every word in the dictionary with an up at the end as though it was the end of a question. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
With that, you can make him say anything. Oh, it's okay. George Lucas will figure out a way to just make a fake version of him.
Yeah.
Fucking CGI young Jeff Bridges was creepy and not... No good.
Technology is not ready.
No. Soren Trigg asked what happened to the archive. It seems to be missing a couple of the new episodes. Also, update, please. I thought that I was caught up, actually. I may have not done my own... Right, because that show ended up on a laptop that I don't normally use. I need to remember to upload that to a place where I can get to it at the office. Tyler Crosby says, just landed in Phoenix for Crimbo. Hi!
Hi.
Fred Levi says, you should do a super mosquito item of the month. Besides being stronger, it can suck poisoning out of you and inject it into the enemy. Is being poisoned even a thing in our video game?
Well,
like,
it's something
I feel like it doesn't actually really ever make a difference to anybody. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, I always feel like I want every monster to poison you all the time. Update, every monster has been given a poisoned knife. Except for the ones who are writers who've been given poisoned pens. You know, like, poisson means fish?
Right. So I have time, poisson pen.
I saw, when I was in Switzerland, a tin of what I believed initially to be cat poison, which was in fact just some fish-flavored cat food. Was it in England that they sold baby water? What was that?
Baby water.
What was that stuff? Infant water. There was some kind of weird thing for babies that had a weird, funny name.
Baby oil?
Yes, it was baby oil. That's what I'm thinking. That weird thing that they only have in England.
Yeah,
baby oil. And I don't remember what it was.
So I just arrived in America. I'm in the grocery store. I see powdered milk. Just add water and you get milk. What a country. Then I see baby powder. What a country. Good old Yakov Smirnoff.
What's he doing these days?
Like a dozen shows a day in Branson.
Data Vortex says, Crimbo has been great. All the parts of Crimbo have been awesome, but Crimbopolis is the awesomest. Thanks for the Crimbo docs, too. Yeah, sorry that I didn't... by the time I logged on to get around to adding that thing to the documentation, I mean, figuring out where the hell that went and adding it to the documentation, C.D. Moyer had already done it.
I think in past years we put it underneath, like, wherever holiday notifications go.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah.
Oh, right, that, like, the story so far thing. I forgot about that. Okay, so that still does need to be done. I'm trying to think. After seeing this question that was sent into the Twitter earlier, which is, let's see. I agree with your comment about scaling monsters for Crimbo this year. Any idea about what percentage are power leveling and which ones are farming? I would wager that both groups would probably be surprised to hear what the numbers are. I tried to get C.D. Moyer to do a query that would let us know, like, what percentage of people playing around in Crimbo are using the lanyard and what percentage aren't, and I don't think that it was fruitful yet. I'm interested to see, though, and I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out, and then I'll share it with you. And I think that's all for the twats. We got a forum thread. How do you feel about the forum thread, Mr. Skellett? How do you feel about the forums in general?
I love the forums.
I've been reading a lot of... Damn it. Somebody knows. There's some funny named product that they sell in England that's like blank water, and it's something for babies.
Ditch water. Gripe water. They have gripe water here, too, though.
Okay, gripe water. That's what it is. What's gripe water?
I'm not arguing that it doesn't sound funny. It's some kind of hippie thing that you give kids when they have an upset stomach.
Home remedy for home remedy for entrance with colic. You know, fucking this picture of Jimmy Wales at the top of every single Wikipedia article makes me believe that whatever I'm looking up, that's what it looks like. I'm like, oh, gripe water. It's a guy in a blue shirt with a beard. Of course. You know, I look up, who did I look up the other day? I don't know, some actor. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what he looks like.
Maybe they should instead make it a picture of the outlaw Josie Wales. Which is a movie.
Or a Nuke the Whales bumper sticker.
Yeah, or just like a blue whale. Or some dude from Wales.
Or somebody really wailing on a guitar, and then a word balloon next to a groupie saying, that dude really wails. Mm-hmm. Or some gun whales. Man, can you imagine if we had a fully operational fleet of gun whales?
Hmm. So that would be like the laser beam sharks, only even better?
Yeah, well, right, because they could carry troops inside them.
Hmm.
You know, and it'd be like you're in a big room with, like, ribs instead of rafters.
Hmm.
And then whenever you needed to, whenever you got to your destination, they would blast you out the blowhole. So it'd be like a soldier mortar. And then the whale would also have a bunch of guns on it.
Nice.
It's a good thing, though, that they didn't grab one of those to take forward in time to talk to the aliens in Star Trek IV. Because they wouldn't have known. I mean, since the whales were extinct, they would not have known that they weren't supposed to have guns on them.
Hmm.
Was that really the plot of Star Trek IV? I'm not just making that up.
What, that whales are actually aliens? That
there was some alien...
Yeah, there was a probe that was sending out whale calls, and since there weren't any whales, it was destroying the planet because the whales weren't telling it Klaatu, Barada, Nikto.
But the sense was that the whales were aliens?
Yes.
And so they were destroying planets where the species couldn't be trusted not to hunt the whales into extinction.
Something like that.
So they were seeding planets with themselves. That seems like kind of a dick move for a race of people.
Well, I think it was more they left their colony force there hundreds of thousands of years ago and then came back to see how they were doing, and they were all gone. And they were all, what the fuck?
But you guys killed all our friends. Why are whales so dumb, then, if they were just, like, instantiations of a race of aliens that had space travel?
Are they dumb? Are they?
No, I guess you're right. There's a lot of underwater, museums and libraries and hospitals.
How do you know there aren't?
Oh, yeah. I guess a giant seashell might count as a hospital.
Maybe we don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe there are hospital caves underneath the ocean.
Maybe they have art and poetry and science, just not in ways we can conceive them perceive them because we're not whales. I'm not a whale. Are you a whale?
And they don't want us to know about it, so they pretend like they can't communicate.
Right. They can communicate with each other. They sing. Mm-hmm. They sing songs to each other.
Do you think that maybe pigeons are also hyper-intelligent, but they've just never figured out how to make some sort of a hybrid of their language and ours?
I think so.
What about... I didn't actually have another joke. I was hoping one would come to me by the time I finished saying, what about... But it didn't. What about taking a break?
Yeah. Actually. I think I can do that. And turn my space heater back on for 15 minutes or so. Alright, we'll see you in a little bit. We're back. At least one of us is back. We lost Jake. We have Jake. Can't hear Jake, though. Jake, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, please come back. We miss you. Jake. 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 Oh, okay, let's get into the radio thread, then. Oracle of Weffing says, while we're talking about butts, remember back when you considered fart and enema jokes too juvenile for the game? Do you think you will live to regret introducing the butts? I think we've stopped worrying and embraced the fart joke as long as we can elevate it ever so slightly, you know. I think that they're classy fart jokes. They're fart jokes for a new generation of people who fart. As to whether we'll live to regret introducing the butt, I already regret it. I was a little late to the party when that was being discussed, and by the time I got there, everyone in the dev team was already super excited about this idea of faxing people your butt, so I was unable to turn that tide. I was a little late to that particular discussion. The same reason that the Jaw Bruiser has that chat effect is, you know, by the time I got in on the discussion, everybody was already super excited about it. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything super wrong with the butt thing. I think it's kind of funny.
I ran in here a second ago to see if you had given me the 1 minute warning, and you hadn't yet. So I was like, all right, I have at least a minute to finish this cigar.
I give you a minute warning?
You usually do. You usually tell me when you say this, you know, we're coming back in after this song in 1 minute or 2 minutes or whatever.
Ah, well, that's all right. That'll teach you to make fun of my song.
I didn't make fun of your song. I just asked if you had some sort of hard drive crash that left you with only one MP3.
When I had already played another MP3 to bring us into the show.
That wasn't the same song?
No. The song that we came in on was Toe Jam. The, like, David Byrne, Fatboy Slim thing.
Is that, like, a recent song?
A couple years ago.
It's good.
It is pretty damn good. I played it because it made me happy to introduce Toe Jam into the game as an item and include a reference to the song in the description.
Okay. So, is that why you keep singing about things in between his toes?
Yeah.
Like a lady making love to him in between his toes?
She learned to shake her thing in between his toes. Yeah.
Weird.
I don't think I want anybody shaking anything in between my toes.
Even like some salt and pepper?
Maybe some, like, Arm & Hammer.
Like the billionaire?
Yeah, was there ever a dude named Armand Hammer?
Wasn't there a dude named Armand Hammer who was, like, the richest man in the world for quite a while?
I don't know. Yeah, apparently. That's weird. Yeah. Does he own the Arm & Hammer baking soda company?
I don't know. Maybe that's where he made all of his millions, in deodorizing refrigerators. Or fucking some marketing department at some point convincing people that it would deodorize refrigerators, and so then everybody had to buy an extra box.
I used to put baking soda in my shoes.
Wow, really?
Yeah, God, my feet smell terrible from, like, onset of puberty until
yesterday. Is your nose running? Because I think I might know what your problem is. You get all of your jokes from Highlights magazine.
Ah, Wait, what?
You know, every once in a while I just think about how that one joke in that Highlights magazine completely... It broke open my sense of humor from then on. And it was where the guy says, Doctor, I bit my own ear. And the doctor says, how'd you manage to do that? And the guy says, I stood on a chair. And then I found out later that was ripped off from a Gilligan's Island joke.
Huh.
Where Gilligan gets bitten on the neck by a vampire, by somebody that he thinks is a vampire or something, and he has this bite on his neck, and they asked him where he got it, and he was like, oh, I did it myself. And they ask him how, and he says he stood on a chair.
That's a good joke. And then 15 years later, it was Edgewise Prostitute.
Mm-hmm. Did you answer whether or not I would blot out the moon with my massive cock?
I did not, because I didn't know for sure.
King Stupid asked that, and then Stubuck says, I think Jake only has female chickens, and they're not particularly massive. They're getting bigger, though. They're growing up so fast. I went out today after I got home from work and let them peck my fingers.
Oh.
It kind of hurt. Better, but not really, you know?
It's startling. Yeah.
It's harder than you think it's going to be. Yeah.
Better they should peck your fingers than...
Than finger my pecs.
Finger your pecs. Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I need an invigorating peck massage. I could pretend that they're Asian women and just let them walk on me. Right. Turtle says, "Hey, Jick, how you doing, buddy?" "Pretty good. How you doing, buddy?"
"Yeah, buddy. Don't call me buddy."
You did address this while we're talking about butts. Remember back when you considered fart and enema jokes too juvenile for the game?
I actually wrote a fart joke in the butt attacks.
Wow, did you?
Yep.
We did decide, really at your urging, I had written the monster as your ass. And you suggested changing it to your butt, and I had planned all along to let you do the writing for that, because I feel like you can be better trusted with the level of discourse in the game than I can. Yeah, I don't think we'll live to regret introducing the butts. No. Roipipi says, "This crimbo is amazing. I mean, the flavor is pitch perfect." That's a weird. You're mixing your metaphors there.
The flavor is the right pitch.
Yeah, you'd be like, the sound effects are so delicious.
Well, maybe he's just suffering from or enjoying synesthesia.
Normally I'd follow that statement up with, but that's not the case here. No buts about it. Yeah. Except for the buts, you know.
I don't know how we did this, where there's, and I'm not complaining really, just kind of, it's a weird thing that there's less content than we usually do for Crimbo. There are fewer mechanic things to manipulate than there usually are, and there's less complexity and fewer items, and yet there are no complaints about any of those things, even though in the past there have been complaints about, say, not enough going on when we've had less going on than this.
Well, it's entirely possible that my deliberate manipulations have worked. Not to tip my hand here, but I decided that doing the Crimbopolis thing would be a good way to allow us to do a simpler Crimbo and scale that back a little bit.
Hmm.
Because I think if you take the Crimbopolis stuff into account, there are probably like about the same number of new items introduced.
Huh.
I don't know. You know, I think perhaps we've arrived at a sweet spot. What the fuck?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's just that Windows ding sound being made over and over and over again, like
right.
Something fall on your keyboard or something.
I did spill beer into my keyboard a couple of minutes ago and have been busily wiping it up, but I wasn't like wiping a single key. You know, I don't know. Well, it's over now.
I wonder if the beer was making the thing feel like a key had gotten pressed.
Hmm. Wow. That sucks. I hope that doesn't wreck this keyboard, because it's been my constant companion for a good 5 years or so now.
Based on this question, I think I have a new favorite person in the forums, based on their name and avatar. Which the name is Zion Rave Scene, which is, you know, a funny Matrix joke, and right. Also a good name. And then the avatar is a picture of, like, a ghoul head, and it just says, "Lunchtime."
Hmm.
Anyway, he writes, "Crimbo in the office isn't Crimbo in the office without an office Crimbo party. Will there be an official office Crimbo party?" If you mean at the Crimbo offices, then I think no, because, you know, holiday parties with their potentially offensive nature are not really within the charter of Crimbo.
Yeah.
And if you mean in the asymmetric offices, we tend to scatter at Christmas. I am the only person who's going to be in town for Christmas, I think.
Hmm. I know, Hot Stuff is just a... Did he join the Harlem Globetrotters? Because trotting the globe is what he's doing.
Yeah, I think so. Either that or the Williamsburg Jet Setters.
Hmm.
Setters. A trotter seems like it would be the name of a dog, but it's not. A setter definitely is.
Yeah. And the Harlem Point Setters.
Wasn't there some joke about setters in the, some KOL item or monster. Like a thermostat setter or something.
I know that that's a hilarious thing to do if you have some kind of a dog-themed restaurant, is to have pointers and setters be the men and women signs on your bathrooms.
Which the fuck one of those is which?
Well, the guy who points his dick at the toilet to pee would be a man.
Oh, and the one who sits... set, like, yeah, like set a spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, I'm glad that I don't frequent places like that.
I don't think I have in my adult life. That just made an impression on me back in the day.
I prefer, you know, the faux cool bar where it has dudes and dudettes.
Oh, right on.
You know, you'll see that at like a, basically like an independent bar that wishes it was a chain bar.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, we're not an Applebee's, but we're going to put a bunch of shit on the wall to make you feel comfortable like we're an Applebee's.
Yeah. I think if I ever have a restaurant, I'm going to put mods and rockers on mine.
Hmm.
Just to see.
Right, so like people who sit in a rocking chair to shit and people who alter their shit with aftermarket parts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which one of those are men?
I don't know. See, I would kind of let the market decide.
You could do it Grease-themed, where, you know, it could be greasers and socialites, and then at about 9 p.m. every night, they switch, the bathroom switch.
Uh-huh.
Without you telling anyone.
I don't know
if he was a greaser or she was a socialite.
The T-Birds and the Pink Ladies. I think it gives too much away, though, if you have the name of the gender in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that all bathrooms
have to be...
The T-Birds
and the Pink People.
I think if you're going to be, like, a hip establishment for the kids, that your bathrooms have to be unisex now, though.
Oh, yeah?
Which, because you don't want to say... Lock on the door. You know, what if you have a penis, but you're a woman, but you identify with being a man... but a woman trapped in the man's body that you identify with? Like, which bathroom do you use?
I feel like, luckily...
what kind of dick would make somebody choose?
Luckily, that almost never comes up anywhere.
You'd think.
I think it really almost never comes up anywhere.
It's the same thing as having a holiday party, though. If there's any chance that anybody might be offended by something...
Have you actually seen places with just unisex bathrooms?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, if there is a bathroom that is only large enough for a single person, I would kind of rather there be two unisex bathrooms than one that's designated for men and one that's designated for women.
I feel like the only reason they do that, designate the men and women, is for the sake of the women. Because, like a, say a music venue is where I've seen most of these. That are, and they are just one-sitters with a door, but then they're unisex. But then drunk guys go in and just piss all over everything. And I feel kind of bad for women, like, on behalf of my gender. Like, sorry, this
is why
we usually
don't share. Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like each of those should also have a urinal in them.
Yeah.
Not that that means... I mean, you just can't trust people, right? Like, we as a race are... Seriously, we are such pricks that we cannot be trusted with a fucking public toilet anywhere. I don't know. You know, I've heard stories about some pretty filthy ladies' restrooms. Huh. You know, I think there's a punk rock gal or two out there that, or there are the people who are like, I'm not gonna sit on this toilet. I'm gonna hover over it because it's gross, and then they'll just piss all over the seat, even though they're a lady.
I would be willing to bet though that filthy men's rooms are more prevalent than filthy women's rooms
than filthy women.
Yeah,
sadly. You know, a good place to find filthy women is by getting their phone numbers on the walls of filthy men's rooms.
That's true. Pantsless says that women's bathrooms are way more disgusting than men's, and he ought to know.
That's true. I find that they often have, like, a couch in them.
That's true. In case that one of them is seized with the vapors and has to faint.
Oh, right. So we're not gonna... No, so they can go in there and gossip about boys.
Oh, I see. Pantsley used to clean bathrooms at a gas station. I guess the likelihood of finding something covered in blood in a men's bathroom is probably a whole lot lower.
Mm-hmm.
But finding something covered in pee, I think the men are going to win that hands down.
But I remember one of the times that I think really defined my management style was when I was a manager at the movie theater when I was in high school. I made these high school girls clean up some poop because I didn't want to do it.
Right.
And it was in the ladies' room. Somebody had smeared poop all over the wall in the ladies' room.
Hmm. It was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the only way.
Now clean this up while I film it. Clean up this film of poop while I film you cleaning it.
It's hard to get poop into a film. You sort of have to swish it around with an emulsifier.
Right.
In some sort of container.
It's harder. It's even harder to develop it, though. Let's be honest.
It's true. Man, if you mixed it with some like glycerine, then you could dip a wand in it and blow bubbles.
I was just thinking as a kid, remember when we did those science projects where you had to make a camera out of just a cardboard box and like a straight pin and some poop?
My school was too poor to afford poop. I do remember the whole thing where you poke a hole in a thing and then hold it up to a solar eclipse, and then there's a little image of the solar eclipse in the...
burned into the back of your skull, yeah.
Yeah, and I still don't understand why that works. I think that it has been explained to me a whole bunch of times, but, right. You know. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Right, because the pinhole makes it so you only get very limited directional light. Yeah. Something. Anyway, no, there's no office crimbo party. I'll probably go in and shed a single tear as I pop out the last of my Lego Castle Advent calendar that Riff got me.
Right.
And, you know, because I miss Riff. And that'll be it.
We're going to be pretty alone on Christmas, too. Last year, my whole family came here. And everybody got a stomach bug and just spewed fluid from every possible direction for days.
Wow, that's what you got everybody a stomach bug for Christmas?
Yeah, in retrospect, as a stocking stuffer, it kind of sucked. But, yeah, so this year everybody's kind of scattered for Christmas. Big sister has a 6-month-old baby, so she ain't going anywhere. We're not going to travel because everybody's all poor. Just as parents are coming up at... on the 4th of January, so we'll have like a...
So you can celebrate Independence Day.
Yeah.
Incorrectly.
Exactly.
My mom is going to come up, I think, and I'm going to... I don't know, man. I bought my mom a computer a couple months ago, and so she's like insisting, like for real insisting that I don't get her anything for Christmas, and I'm fucking terrible at getting people Christmas presents, so like I haven't bought anything yet. And it's like, now I'm like, well, goddamn it, now I have to go to a fucking store. Because it's too late to order anything off Amazon. Which is just where I get everything now.
Right, it doesn't matter. I can't think of anybody that knows you who would be like, goddamn it, this came on December 28th. He's off the list.
I know, but I mean, that's the thing. I always talk to people and I say, I feel guilty about not getting anybody any Christmas presents. And then everyone that knows me always says, dude, like, you just buy people shit all the time.
Exactly.
You should never feel guilty about not giving people a Christmas present. But then for whatever reason, that just makes me feel like even more of an asshole.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Baxelon says, actually getting in early on this one, I blame my lack of work ethic, or real work ethic. Anywho, first off, amazing idea on the skill books. Enough people have said this already, but I thought I'd add to the chorus of casual players saying, yes, please. And for an actual question, you've set up the script versus BGE order forms dichotomy in Crimbo HQ, so how would you play it personally? Assuming, of course, that you could still monetarily support the BGE if you went for script instead. I kept saying script. Normally, that's the thing that I would correct on the fly and say script, but I also don't know if those words are really distinguishable at normal talking speed. I don't know what I would do. I have a feeling that I would, since the BGE items are tradable, I would probably go for a handful of them and then start going for script until I got everything. Mm. You know, if I thought I was going to be playing plenty of it. I'm trying to think, you know, the only, like, there was this limited time event in Twilight Heroes, and I played it until I was pretty sure I had exhausted the things that you could get from it, and then just went back to my usual routine. So, you know, I don't even know if I would be continuing to spend my turns in Crimco HQ now if I had already gotten everything that I needed.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm interested. The Twilight Heroes is getting a mall pretty soon, so I am curious as to what it's going to be like if I'm actually trying to play in an economy that I sort of care about. Not that I don't care about KOL's economy, but I'm not a reasonable participant in it.
Yeah. You are the invisible hand.
Yeah.
Of the economy.
Mm. You know what I should have for dinner? Invisible ham.
Mmm. That sounds delicious.
Maybe I'll ask my imaginary friend, Invisible Han, what I should do.
And you'll say, Invisible Han, I love you. And he'll say, I know.
Invisible, I know.
Hey, what's good? Hey?
Oh no, another putz says, will Worky Time T be useful after Crimbo? It'll be usable, but I don't think it'll do anything. My goal, I tried to make the stuff that gives you boredom unputtyable, just not because I don't want people fighting it and getting more, it doesn't make any sense that you would get more script for fighting a puttied copy of it, because where the fuck did that elf come from?
Right.
And B, I don't want, you know, it's like just, I feel like it's going to be weird to get that boredom thing popping up when it doesn't actually do anything.
Right.
Betrayer says, what would happen if the bub photocopied his ass? Would it be too large to fax? I should have hard-coded something like that.
It's funny that... So when I came into chat, when the butt discussion was going on, that the one thing that caused blowback was me suggesting that paddles should do extra damage against a butt, which is
I just forgot. I did not actually think that that was a bad idea. I think what happened is you said that, and then... I'm going to let you finish. But I think what happened is that you said that... And then what happened after that was like an hour of hundreds of ideas for different Easter eggs that could go into that.
No, I was towards the tail end of that.
I think that I just had to stop before I started adding Easter eggs to the butt fights.
Yeah.
Because there was no way it was ever going to stop.
Well, no, I mean, I came in towards the end of that, everyone talking about what it should do, and... But the eye roll was like, oh god, here comes Scully with his fucking spanking bullshit again. It's like, well, okay, but you gotta give me a mulligan on it when we're talking about an enemy that is a giant ass, you know? It's like...
I know. I wasn't saying that there was anything wrong with you other than that you are a pervert.
Okay.
And I wasn't saying that your idea was bad. I was just saying, Mr. Skullhead, you're still a pervert.
Right. Although, my assertion that me being a pervert was coincidental to me suggesting that, I think, was true.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that you don't think you're a pervert when being into spanking is like the sort of go-to indication that someone is a pervert.
I don't think that I'm not a pervert. I don't think that I'm...
But don't you agree? I mean, in fiction, it seems like, at least, you know, 50 years ago, say, it's a trope established that... If you want to show that somebody is a sex pervert, you either have them secretly dress as a woman or wear women's underpants when they're at home, or you walk in on them getting spanked or spanking someone.
Well, like 50 years ago, a man spanking a woman was kind of what, like in the 50s, 40s and 50s, say, that was kind of what at least Madison Avenue said you did if your wife didn't do things the way you wanted her to do them.
I see. So you would spank her, and then if you were one out of 1,000 people, it would give you a boner.
Right.
Which you would then demand that she service.
Yep. Those were the days.
That was your right as a man. A Frog Factory says, having been both a barmaid and a lifeguard, I can assure you that men's bathrooms smell worse and have more and more interesting things happen in women's. Huh. You mean like ladies kissing each other?
Hmm.
I bet that happens.
Okay.
Yeah. What I would like is for there to be two combinations of those two professions, instead of barmaid and lifeguard, a life aide and a Barm Guard.
Yeah.
Life Aid would be, you know, you would just, like help someone. You'd be like a coach. Man, there. I was listening to the and a barm guard would be somebody who stopped people from doing that thing, that fucking gross thing where you rub some grease off of your nose and then stir it around in the head of your beard to get the head to go away.
Huh?
Have you ever seen anybody do that?
No, and I haven't done that.
It's fucking gross. I can't. Why would anyone do that? It was like, I feel like it was like when I first started going to bars, somebody was like, hey, check it out. It's a trick for getting rid of the foam on your beer. And you fucking like rub some oil off of their face and then just stir their finger around in the head of their beer. You know, makes it go away. It's like a GasX commercial.
See, I just dropped GasX in my beer. Okay, Elfrian says that spanking is kinky and not necessarily perverted.
I think kinky is, by definition, perverted.
Kinky is when you use a feather. Perverted is when you use the whole chicken.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
You know, like, in my time at KOL...
Thanks, Maxim Magazine.
Right.
For
I
clearing that up.
I might have thought of myself as a pervert until I went to a KOL meet and saw a dude in a doublet using a whip on a girl in, like, in the middle of a crowded room, kind of apropos of nothing.
Right, on a girl who was going around lactating on people.
Right, and at that point I thought, you know, so I like smacking people on the ass. Like, it's a fetish that involves naked women, and that's kind of sexy anyway. And the buttocks are an erogenous zone.
It is,
like, maybe
it is not. It is not, Mr. Skullhead. Don't think even for a moment that it is. That I have anything negative to say about our player base.
No, but of course not.
You might not want to use them as a basis for comparison when it comes to sexual norms.
Well, I might, if my goal is to feel more normal in my sexual proclivities.
I suppose you're right. I suppose.
It seems to be working just fine.
Mm-hmm. Anyway... I'm sure that all y'all are wondering how I could possibly enjoy my plain-ass vanilla sex life, but I enjoy it very well, thanks. Blister Guy says, you mentioned that we should remind you when you say you'll do something, but then get distracted with cooler things like Crimbo. A while ago, you said that having a visible turn count counter in the character pane would be something you'd be okay with adding. Is this something in C.D. Moyer's queue of stuff to do, or just something that has fallen by the way? It's not, I mean, it'd be pretty easy to do. Here's the thing, though. Where would that go on the full character pane?
Hmm.
I guess it could just go right under the MP and everything. Above Last Adventure, maybe?
Hmm.
Yeah. I have no problem. Right now, though, the reason that I wouldn't add that feature is because I don't want to add features to the old account menu because C.D. Moyer has like a 90% done new account menu that is much, much... Well, it will be much, much nicer visually. It's a lot easier to use now. It'll be much nicer visually once it gets cleaned up a tiny bit. There's some weird things that happen when I look at it, at least. I don't know. Troubleface writes, is there going to be any way to see who your Crimbo buddy is without them telling you? I need to know who to berate. I don't know. Do you think that we should reveal them at the end? A lot of people are asking this.
I thought we would.
Dude, is that... I've never been at, like, an office that did a Secret Santa in any kind of official way. Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, the last gift that the person gave me had her name on it.
Yeah, was it a coffee cup with a dead cockroach in it?
Yep. No.
Wasn't that you?
Yeah, one of the gifts was a coffee cup with a dead cricket in it. But, like, it was wrapped, you know, so when I opened it, it had a dead cricket in it. Everything that's in the Secret Santa thing is from that one time that I was in an office Secret Santa. Just like, what the fuck do you buy for these people when you have...
Wasn't there also the snowman diorama with the bucket labeled snowballs?
Yeah. Good times.
Man, you know, every once in a while, my mom will get me a Christmas ornament. And a lot of KOL people have sent cool KOL-themed Christmas ornaments, but I never really understood the, like, giving somebody a Christmas ornament as a Christmas present.
Yeah, I remember you railing about that back in the day.
It wasn't so much railing as, like, a, what, like, here is, on Christmas Day, the day before you take your Christmas tree down, here is a thing to put on it. So I am giving you something that is as irrelevant as possible. You know, there ought to be a holiday, like, there ought to be a tradition of giving people Christmas ornaments for Halloween.
Huh. Well, the idea is that you use them next Christmas. Like, that's fine.
Oh, I remember last Christmas when somebody gave me a gift that I couldn't enjoy until now.
Well, especially if last Christmas they gave you their heart.
Oh, right, and you were like, they were like, all right, it is vitally important that you keep this packed in ice and get on the next flight to Los Angeles.
Well, the very next day they took it away, I think is what happened.
Right, is that some sort of contemporary song?
Like 80s, it's Wham.
Oh. Why is it that I had never heard that song or that lyric, and then, like, within the last 3 or 4 days, it's everywhere?
Because it's Christmas.
And this Christmas they suddenly decided that was going to be the zeitgeisty thing?
Sure. Maybe somebody did a cover of it. Made it all au courant again. Maybe Nickelback did a cover of Last Christmas. Because, like, Nickelback's the only other band out there now, right? There's Wham and
There's Nickelback. Wham and Nickelback, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there are any other bands. There might be some that aren't on a label.
Yeah. I don't listen to indie rock.
Let's see. Beowulf says, are you still enjoying and making progress on the quest tweaks / revamps? I spent a lot of time thinking about that today. I spent a lot of time today, Mr. Skullhead, you're going to be horrified, trying to organize on the whiteboard all of the things that are in various stages of done and all the things we're planning on doing, and try to make kind of a schedule for 2011.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So maybe at our weekly meeting, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. We got to talk about this mobile web Kingdom of Loathing thing.
Yeah.
Because the asynchronous argument isn't working for me. I read your, like, I made a bunch of points, and then I read the next day you had made a bunch of counterpoints. It's like, you know,
I don't
want to make a bunch of counterpoints and then
right
continue this like weird argument.
I spent a lot of time yelling at Hot Stuff about it today.
Oh, good, good.
I think that somewhere in the middle of what we all want is a thing that can be done.
Right.
I think that thing in the middle is probably the right thing to do.
We need to all get together and have the Kevin plan, which is too many features to be able to do in a reasonable amount of time. Your plan, which is to sit in a corner and weep. C.D. Moyer's plan, which is to work on all of the 10 dozen things he has to work on and think about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And my plan, which is to yell, God damn it, let's just do something.
Let's just do something now.
Yeah.
What's weird is that there's a lot of role reversal going on here. Hot Stuff's plan is actually, I think, too simple to be effective.
Uh-huh.
That's the argument. So the problem that I have with the ideas of like, you know, the, okay, iPad app for playing KOL is... So I think nobody is pushing for that as strongly as Hot Stuff is, but because I think everybody else is like, well, just a mobile-friendly version of KOL is probably more doable than it used to be in terms of like not having to just rewrite the entire game interface.
Sure.
What Hot Stuff wants to do is make an iPhone app, and I just don't feel like it is worth the time and development resources because it's not actually going to. It is neither going to improve the game nor bring new people in. He believes that it will bring a bunch of new people in, which I just don't. And he, you know, I think there are two possible goals for an iPad version, or an iPod version, iPhone version of KOL. One is to have it be a thing that's in the App Store that brings people into KOL, and one is to have a way for people who already play KOL to play it on their iPhones.
And I think it's going to be a whole lot of the latter and a little bit of the former.
Right, and I think that Hot Stuff's desires and designs are focusing on the former, which I like, not as a justification for the thing's existence. He's focusing on the former, right? Like, it is worth spending development time that we could be spending making KOL better for existing players. And I mean, I still kind of have this view that the best way to, you know, get people to pay attention to your thing is to focus on making the thing as good as possible, right? As opposed to on telling everybody how good the thing is, or, you know, expanding your markets. Somewhere in the middle is the right thing to do. I think that I could probably get behind a pared-down mobile version of the interface.
So I think that you are kind of insistent on the combat action bar being part of it.
I'm not exactly. And then I
think that you don't even have to have that at all.
Yeah, it's combat. Just I like when you describe what you want the fight interface to look like, I think that there are just parts of it that you're not imagining correctly.
Well, like I'm looking at what I see when I get into a fight. The ways in which I can interface with the game when I'm in the middle of a fight, and it all happens in this little box that has like five different things that you could do that could be easily represented by buttons and little pop-ups.
Right, except it's five things when you do it, and potentially 200 things when somebody else does it, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, and it's like, sure, it'd be nice to have everything just be like nice-looking, iconic things that look like the buttons and other things that you use instead of these like antiquated drop-downs and stuff, but it's like,
what are you doing in a fight that's not weapon, skill, combat item, familiar, like Postomancer summon and run away?
Sure, but each of those things, like, sure, I agree that it would be pretty easy to replace the attack with your weapon button with a picture of your weapon that when you click it, you attack. But to build, you'd have to build some kind of a menu that would work whether you had five combat items or 200 combat items. Right? And these are just a bunch of things that are non-trivial, and they're questions that are not yet answered.
Well, right now I click an arrow on a drop-down box to select an item. So instead, I click on the item button, and I get a list of my items to use.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
iPod, iPhone, it will be incredibly cumbersome, because what their browser does with drop downs is kind of horrible.
Yeah, that's something I don't know. So,
yeah, but I mean that's just the thing. Like
but those are conversations to have.
They are about like, and that's one of the things that, you know, and I think that's part and parcel of Facebook integration. You know, I think a lot of these things can be approached with a single unified.
Yeah. I think that we'll end up coming up with stuff that makes it that can be fed back into the game. Like the whole idea of how come you have to scroll all the way down past whatever just happened in the round or the fight to be able to hit again if all you want to do is hit again.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
I get used to though. Like, you play on dev. Do you have the debug stuff turned off?
No.
That, I think there is a lot less scrolling for most people.
Hmm.
Right? Like, when I turn it off, or when I play on the live server, I'm like, wow, why is there nothing going on in this fight? And like, oh, right, it's because I don't have hundreds of little boxes filled with green text telling me about everything that's going on. So that, I don't know. I mean, I guess that was one of the first Grease Monkey scripts, and still a popular one was the stationary combat buttons. You know, yeah, I don't think that these things are impossible, right? I mean, the fact that, like, the iconic top menu went over pretty well, like, you know, I think that there are solutions to a lot of these problems. It's just that if I don't have them in my head, it's hard for me to say, go forth and implement this, because I don't yet know what this is, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't particularly like the combat action bar. I don't use it because I find it difficult to do the quick things that I need to do in testing.
See, that's why I found it strange that you had the... You were saying, how do we do... If we do a mobile thing, then we just have a third thing to add in combat in addition to the combat action bar. And I'm like, dude, why would we put the combat action bar in the mobile?
No. What I'm saying is, to do it mobile, we need a third entire interface. Because the combat action bar won't work, and the normal interface won't work. So... That is my thing. It's like doing this in a way that creates more things that we have to support in the future. But, you know, it's just not as big a deal as I think of it as.
And if it's a thing that replaces what you see in combat right now in the actual game.
That's very much what I meant.
So, yeah, the discussion, and it's funny how long it's taking me to agree with you and say the same thing that you're saying. The discussion is not like, how could we possibly make it so you can use your combat items? It's, what does it look like when you click your item button?
Yeah, exactly.
And I wonder if you had a text field there that could start auto-completing stuff for you. I don't know. I have ideas. They're probably ideas that everybody else has already had, but I can have them with a sense of urgency that other people won't.
Yeah.
So, it's fucking obvious how we're going to do this. And we need to just do it.
Yep.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, you can thank Adam Dunn for my new assertiveness. He de-pussified me a little bit.
Right. And do you learn that from watching The Football Men?
Yes.
Okay. I imagine they're pretty assertive.
They are. Unless they're our particular football team, in which case they're kind of shrinking violets. That's a joke, because our football team is not doing well.
And they are the Minneapolis Shrinking Violets.
They are. Our colors are violet and shrink.
Boy. There was a book of short stories where there was a kid who started shrinking, and they sent him to the principal's office for shrinking, and the principal assumed that he had been shirking.
Hmm.
And I don't know what book of stories that was.
Was that Sideways Stories from Wayside School?
It might have been. But I thought that you had talked about that, having read that, and then I mentioned that one, and you didn't remember that, so.
The only one I really remember is the one where the kid keeps taking off his coat, and he has, like, layers and layers of coats, and it turns out he's not a kid, he's a rat, pretending to be a kid.
Similar to the story of Bartholomew Cubbins.
Yes.
Did you have that book when you were a kid?
No.
The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins. It was an uncharacteristically prosy Dr. Seuss book. Unless it wasn't Dr. Seuss. I think I got it as a Dr. Seuss book, but... You know. let's see. Yeah, Scarf It In also asking if we're going to find out who our Crimbo people were after the event reaches its zenith.
Yeah,
that's the thing. If we leave the stuff going until after Crimbo, which, I mean, I think we probably should.
Right.
Right, I mean, we tend to, because the sort of, like, final countdown happens on Christmas, we want to let people continue to get to that point, which means letting people continue to farm script and whatever. And I think they appreciate that. I guess we let people keep giving Secret Santa gifts.
Yeah. I think that we can narratively justify, like, even if you have done the whatever end thing, that you still get to keep doing what you were doing before. Just in a different narrative context. It can be done.
Yeah, it can. Games Master says, did you have trouble picking which references to the kingdom to use for the BGE? Since there were probably thousands you could have put in, how'd you restrict yourself to just a few? Well, Gamelli had the idea of it being merged. Well, I think I had the idea of basing the drops on the merchandise store, and then Gamelli would just, like, shout out a bunch of perfectly workable things that we could do with them.
Right.
So, yeah. I was gonna put in a thing about how when you wear a Bugbear shirt, girls always say, oh, look at that cute thing on that shirt. They never say it to you, they just say it to their like, maybe their boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or their girlfriend, as they're walking past you.
Ollie says, kitty shirt.
kitty shirt, yeah?
Yeah. Anything with triangular ears is a kitty.
I see. And anything made out of Legos is a robot house.
Yep. He finally let me build a robot house with him. That was good.
Good. I saw it. I saw your adorable post on the Facebooks.
Oh.
Play Havoc says, chirp, chirp. Oh no! My player profile isn't updated! Chirp! Yeah. Sorry. I do intend to do it. Dryad says, shouldn't the Game Grid valued membership card allow access to the Game Grid? I mean, isn't that the flavor behind it, that it lets you in without having to buy tokens or tickets? Nah, I mean, it lets you into the back room, but there's a separate door, and you know, see, when we think about our chat channels as real places, it really breaks down. And the reason that it doesn't, the reason that access to that channel doesn't let you into the arcade is that you wouldn't be able to do anything in there, and also that that... it would have to hit inventory to check for it, I think. I mean, in addition to hitting inventory, it would have to hit the chat access table, which doesn't normally get hit. So, fuck, I don't know.
So you can't have it. It's a nice thing that you can't have.
Vinovin says, was it your individual or collective intention to make this Crimbo extra hardy? With Elf Alley, the Clan Fax Machine, and the CCB mechanic, that's three distinct community-focused elements. Yeah, I don't know. I think it just happened that way. You know, I mean, Elf Alley was my idea, the fax machine was Hot Stuff's idea, and the Secret Santa stuff was Scully's idea, so, I don't know, maybe we were just all in that kind of mood.
We were in a Christmas mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, what happened is I went down to Whoville, and I stole all of their Christmas stuff, because I was really tired of them singing their freaking Christmas songs all the time, and then it turned out they still were enjoying their holiday, even though I had all their stuff, and so my heart grew... two entire sizes, and so all I could think of to make for our players were heart-type things.
Cool. Sleepy Worm wants to thank you for the Brain Cracker Sour.
You're welcome, Sleepy Worm. I actually did that just for you. I'm not being facetious. There was some dude in the forums who said his favorite drink was the Brain Cracker Sweet, so let me piss on that memory.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is it just the joke? I do not mean to in any way... detract from or belittle the work that you do on the Crimbo Cafe, but it doesn't even register with me. Like, because it's like not a thing. It's like new wallpaper on an old thing, and so it just doesn't trigger the thing that makes me think about content. So it's weird to me that like somebody could be especially excited about a particular thing in the Crimbo Cafe because it's like always the same. What is the Brain Cracker Suite? What was that?
It was just the high-end booze from the first Crimbo Cafe.
Is that a reference to something? Like it sounds like a phrase that is heady and loaded with
some
sort of meaning.
No, it was just a mashup of the like tiki drink name and the Nutcracker Suite. Yeah.
Oh. Wait, is there a tiki drink called the Brain Cracker?
If there isn't, I'm sure there will be.
I see.
You know, like the mind eraser, the zombie, the, you know, the idea being that it's like the super alcohol-infused version of whatever a Nutcracker Suite is.
Okay.
I think that was Riff's description, though.
I didn't get... Okay, I think I did not get Nutcracker Sweet as... I did not think of Brain Cracker Sweet, because if it had been Brain Cracker Sweet, S-U-I-T-E, you know, then I would have gotten... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the idea is that it's really, really sweet and really, really alcoholic.
Okay, yeah.
How
King
Stupid
wrote... I think we can finish up the forum question before we take off. Damn it, I'm in Iowa. It's overcast here, too. I wanted you to point your iPhone into the heavens and take a picture of the moon blotted out by enormous genitals. Well, I'm going to if the clouds clear up, so I'll definitely check. Here's a question. Epic Mickey, as frustrating as Kingdom Hearts? I only ever watched somebody play Kingdom Hearts, and it seemed like it would be really frustrating. I kind of gave up on Epic Mickey, and I sent it to Werebear for Christmas.
Yeah.
The champion says, this whole fax thing and the community's effort to work it to their advantage seems to be driving Stupak nuts. Well done. Good, good, good. Maybe he'll murder me when I see him in a couple of weeks. Blue Scream asks if the BGE form kerfluffle caused any changes in plans for Crimbo. No, I don't think it was a big deal. Casey Wiederman says, if you had the entire library of NES games, which ones would you play? I always liked NES Pinball.
Hmm.
And Bionic Commando and Castlevania.
I'm thinking maybe Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
Oh, yeah?
And 3D World Runner.
Wow, did you like 3D World Runner?
I did. Back when I was a kid. I never played it in 3D, but...
I didn't either.
The only time that I got to play Nintendo games was when I was sick, and they would rent... My parents would rent me some from the video store. So I didn't play a whole lot of NES games.
Okay. Madzor Panda says, is a new ascension path, for example, Batman, still being considered? Yeah, actually, today, as vigorously and enthusiastically as it ever has been, strangely enough.
Hmm.
Wait. Casey Wiederman says, the 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cummins was a Dr. Seuss book. It just came through the bookstore. It seems like that would make more sense as a pair of sentences if it said it wasn't a Dr. Seuss book. I don't know, man. Anyway, sorry I made us read all those. We can go now.
All right, good night, everybody.